Tonight we're up to Resh Nun Dalad Sif Vov. This halacha is actually, the halacha itself is less negiah. It's something which was only negiah in the time of Chazal. But the yisoid, the principle, could be quite negiah. So Sif Vov, Ve'im Nosnoi B'Shabbos. If somebody, we're talking over here, before I start the Seif, I just want to go back onto one point, which we spoke about the last part of the Shea yesterday, and that was, there's an Issa Ridiyah. Ridiyas Hapas. In the time of Chazal, the way they baked was, they put the dough and they stuck it onto the wall of the oven. They stuck it onto the wall. Now, there was an art, what Chazal called a Chochma, in being able to cut it back off when it was ready baked. Chazal say it's not a real Issa D'Rabbanan because it's not a melocha, it's a dovah chochma. That's what the Gemara calls it. And to do that, to cut it off, I think the chochma was to get it off without making the challah crumble. To cut it back off the wall of the oven and to take it out was a dovah chochma, and it's also to do on Shabbos. That's what we spoke about at the end of yesterday. Now, with that hakdama, let's start the Sif. Ve'im nosnei b'Shabbos. Somebody went and did a melocha of baking on Shabbos. He took a piece of dough and he put it inside the oven on Shabbos. Afilu b'meizit. He's a mechalel Shabbos b'meizit. Mutaloi l'radois koidem sheyofer. That means, we're up to page Chavov on the Sif Vav. So we're talking about somebody who went b'meizid and he baked challah on Shabbos. He took a piece of dough and he put it in the oven on Shabbos b'meizid. A real mechallel Shabbos, real naughty boy. Now he has regrets. He suddenly realizes, he gets stoned even. The Gemara talks about him getting stoned, right? So he's just done a melechas fia on Shabbos. So now he says, I'll do it. I've got a stick. I'll take it out before it bakes. Let me take it out before it bakes. And if I take it out before it bakes, so I never baked anything. I never did anything wrong. The whole issa is putting it in, allowing it to bake. But if I take it out before it bakes, no, I've saved myself death. Or if it's b'shogeg, I've saved myself a carbon. Problem is, taking it out is the issa d'rabbanan. Because we said, you're not allowed to cut this dough out of the oven. D'rabbanan only. So now we have a scale over here. On the one hand, he's put it in, and he did it b'meizid, and he's about to be chayev skila. On the other hand, Chazal are telling him, don't take it out, because it's a issa d'rabbanan to take it out. Says the mechaba, muta loy l'radus koidem sheyofa. He's allowed to take it out. Kedei sheloyovo lidei issa skila. That way he won't come to issa skila. Chazal allowed him to go against their issa d'rabbanan of cutting out this baking bread, kedei, to save him from an issa skila. Says, look at the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Amates, Afilu b'meizit, the Hava Mina, what's the chiddush of the Mechaber? What's the chiddush of this Sif? The Hava Mina, you might have said, Haliteu l'Rosha v'Yamas. He was a Rosha, he baked bread on Shabbos, he should get stoned, and don't let him save himself by cutting it out. Tell him to leave it there, let it bake, let him be over on the issa, and he'll die. Kemash Malon de Shori. No, he's allowed to. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'koshkin k'shehidvik b'shoigig. Koshkin, when he did this, pe'ula b'shoigig. We're up to Rishon on Dalet Sif Vav. To show you. K'dei shulu yovel idei isechatos. If he was a shoigig, then Chazal would for sure let him take it out. This makes even more sense. But even if he's amazed, then he's a Rosha. But now he has regrets. We allow him to be over on the Issa D'Rabbanan to take it out. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Mem, Loi, Rotzaloyma dafka hu ba'atzmoy. Only him. He could take it out. But what happens if I'm watching the scene? And I've watched this man, he's just put bread into the oven on Shabbos, and he's just done a Issa Avera Deiraisa Michal Shabbos Chayv Skila. So I want to save him Skila. I feel bad for this fellow. So I want to say, I'll take it out. I'll save him from death. Or I'll save him from a Chatos. Says the Mishnah Berurah, no. Dafka hu ba'atzmoy mutal radus. Only the person who did that Avera himself. Avalachim, anybody else watching, asurim l'radus b'shvilei. Why could it be over on Issa D'Rabbanan? And I don't have to be over on Issa D'Rabbanan to save somebody else from his averus. If you went and did an Aveira, and I want to now save you from that Aveira, so I want to do an Issa D'Rabbanon of Rediyas HaPas, cutting this bread out of the oven, I don't do it. I'm not allowed to do it. It's a fascinating concept. A person has gone and done an Issa. He's gone and done an Issa, and I want to save him from that Issa. Even B'Shoigik. He did the Issa. I'm not even B'Shoigik. That's what he carries on over here. And if you look at the Shaar Tzion, Sifkotan Mem, the Shaar Tzion at the bottom of the page, Sifkotan Mem, the Gam B'Shoigik Posha. Even B'Shoigik, there's also an element of Pshi, of carelessness. The Havelin Izoi should be over there. He should have been careful. Therefore, a person goes and does a Shoigik, but mistake does an Avera. And I can save him from that Avera. Yeah, you see the Shaar Tzion at the bottom of the page? I can save him from that Avera. And but the problem is, by me saving him, I have to do an Issa D'Rabbanon. That means that I'm trying to save this guy from baking. I have to cut this bread out of the oven. Cutting the bread out of the oven, as we said, is Issa D'Rabbanon. I am not allowed to be over an Issa D'Rabbanon to save him, Issa D'Raisa, and he should get stoned and die. Sorry.
Isn't there a concept of saving another Jew's life?
Yes, there is. But that is when a person is he's dying, he's in danger, and so on and so forth. Here we're talking about somebody who did an Aveira, and he brought himself upon himself something, and now I have to do an Aveira to save him. We don't know it. It's a fascinating thing. Where is it Nigea? It's Nigea in a lot of things, because it's Nigea even in the Shegik. Baal Tshuva comes to your house, or somebody not from comes to your house, and he takes the pot off, he's involved in the kitchen, whatever reason he's gone into the kitchen, she or he, and she goes, puts the pot back onto your stove. You have to leave it there. He's done Avera, he's by mistake, but it's by mistake, nobody's going to blame him for it, but you don't have to protect him from that. Right? Where it also Negea is, with the Mechonim talking about it over here, is an interesting thing. Let's say, to get a Hatzalah sometimes, or even in a regular person's life, a person thinks he needs to go to hospital, he's got a relative there on Shabbos, and he's got, sometimes we have a heter to go to hospital on Shabbos. If the choler needs, somebody's got an elderly parent in the hospital, and the rov will tell him, you're allowed to take a taxi on Shabbos, because your father's going to need you there, and there are places where there's a heterium to do that. Hatzalah have the heter the whole time. Right. So now he's planning on Shabbos morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, to take a taxi to the hospital, which is a drabonon. Now, I know this, and I'm next to the hospital, and I know that his father doesn't need him even. His father's got better already, he's checked out. His father, chas v'shalom, the other way around. Father doesn't need him anymore. So I want to send a goy, or do a Issa D'Rabbanon of some sort, to tell him, don't come to the hospital. You got Hatzalah running around, loads of Hatzalah taking somebody to the hospital. So another Hatzalah's there, and he also is coming running. You know, always Hatzalah, always a few come, and another one wants to come. So I want to tell Hatzalah, don't go, you don't need to be Michal Shabbos, we don't need you, we've got loads of Hatzalah, we've got the ambulance, we've got the doctors, he's fine. And I want to, the only way of be telling him is doing it is Issa D'Rabbanon, phoning him with a shinui, sending a goy. Am I allowed to do that Issa D'Rabbanon to be able to protect and save him from doing an Issa? And the answer is no.
It's different here, because he's different. Got the chiyah, so he's not actually over anything. He's got a chiyah to act on the information he has, and there's a chiyah of Shabbos.
So you're saying there's even more reason not to go tell him?
Right, because
yes. The chiyah, when they say it's even better than here. Because this guy, if I don't save him, he's going to have done an Issa. The Hatzalah guy who's running to the hospital, even though we don't need him, at the end of the day, he's not done any Avera. He's done a mitzvah, because he was supposed to go. Yeah, that's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's even better. It's even more of a reason not to let the Hatzalah know. Yeah, you're going that way. I mean, you're agreeing with the point, you're just saying it's even more simpler.
So you can't learn from one to the other, because this is a more medical case. This Hatzalah guy is not going to get any skila
or anything.
Chatzis because of doing what he did. On the contrary.
Right, he's mechuyev to do what he did.
Right, so I'm saying you can't learn out from Hatzalah.
No, so the other way around. So we're learning from here. So we're saying, Hatzalah, you're agreeing with Hatzalah, for sure don't tell him. You're saying, you might not even need this seif. You might not even need the seif. That's what you're saying. You're right. And the Achronim put that in. And when they say it, they learn it from the seif, because that's what's mefurish. We like to learn things. And then they say it's even better, because, Mamish, like you said, because over there, here we're talking about saving somebody. If you don't save him, we're going to kill him, right? It's a skila, chatos, korban. He's a rosha, this person. And we still tell you not to save him. If a Hatzalah guy is going to hospital, he's been doing a mitzvah. We don't need him. But okay, that that was Baruch Hashem, we don't need him. But at the end of the day, he's doing a mitzvah, doing what he's doing. So you're right, it's definitely better to a certain extent. So that's this halacha. So what we're saying, that you're not allowed to be over on Issa Drabonon to save somebody else doing Issa Deraisa or anything. Let's carry on. He says over here, if you look at the end of Sif Koton Mem, I have a dot. I don't know if you have. So it says, V'chol zeh le'in en afir. It's three lines from the bottom, about nearly halfway through the line. I've got a dot over here, I don't know if you have. V'chol zeh le'in en afir, says the Mishnah Berurah. All this whole halacha, is when we're talking about a guy who's gone and put a piece of dough in the oven, b'mezid, k'day, to bake on Shabbos. Avol le'in en bishul. What happens if he puts a pot on the stove? Poshatu dim echad shochach. If somebody put a kadeira on the fire, tzorich gam achil lesalkoi, a pot you do take off. If Reuven comes to my house and Reuven decides he's cooking on Shabbos, so he takes a pot of raw food, he puts it on the flame, and I'm horrified, I want to save him, then it's posh that says Mishavu, you take it off. Why? Because the whole problem over here is, I'm not even Issa Drabonon to be save him at Issa Deraisa. But if by taking it off I'm not being over any Issa, there's nothing wrong with taking a pot off the fire, then Avada, I can take it off and save him from being Issa. That she says, Tzorch gam achil esarchoi, k'dei shelo yovi chaveyu lidi Issa. De besiluk ha'kdeiro, by taking the pot off, ein kan Issa klal. There's no Issa at all. Umimela yishkan mitzvah lafrishim yisur. This whole halacha, well, this whole concept is only based on the fact that I'm not even Issa Drabonon to save you. But if you put a pot on the fire and I just take it off, then that's not a problem at all. Or let's say, he's talking about a pot, but let's talk about baking today. Guy takes a nice, freshly braided challahs, they're not baked, he puts them in the oven. Then I could take them out, because what's the problem? The whole problem is being over Issa Drabonon, but today we don't do this riddia, we don't do this art of cutting out the dough out of the oven. It's just simply taking the tray and putting it out. So it's fine, I can take it out of the oven without any problem. The whole problem is only because I'm being stunned to be over Issa Drabonon on his behalf, and I'm not required to be over Issa Drabonon on his behalf. There's only one problem with this Mishnah Berurah, and that is, why isn't the stuff mukta? Because the stuff's raw. It's raw. And raw food is mukta, because there's nothing you can do with raw food. So, the Chuinim explain that the Mishnah Berurah means, obviously not a raw pot, a pot which has got a bit of food cooked in it, so therefore, I can take it off, because I'm not being over mukta. But then they go ahead and they say, but even if it's cooked, but if it's mainly not cooked, then it's a bosses of davar asa, which is another concept. Then if most of the pot is raw and most of the pot is mukta, then even I've got bits and bobs of carrots or peas inside, which cook easily and quickly. But at the end of the day, if the meat on them, the main dish inside the pot, is raw, then it's going to be mukta. So we'll have to put some words into the Mishnah Berurah that Chuinim say. But whatever the case is, but if there's no Issa Drabonon, let's say it's not mukta, and there's no cutting out, there's no other Issa Drabonon, I'm for sure it's a mitzvah, says the Mishnah Berurah, to even try and save Yenam from being over Issa Drabonon. So that's no question. But the whole shaila is only when we're talking about being over Issa Drabonon on his behalf. Okay, let's carry on. Says the Mechaber Sif Zayin, V'taluim shalonu she'ein bahem ridia. In our ovens where there's no ridia. Means already in the time of the Mechaber, they stopped using this concept of ridia, this chokhmah of cutting bread out of the oven. Muta v'hoitzi yoisim mishonish sudis besakit. If we remember on Sif Hey, we said that if somebody did. Okay, let's not go back to Sifei. Let's stay over here, because it's too short. Maybe let's stay with the Poshim Shat. If somebody baked, we're now discussing the simple issa of Ridia, simple issa of cutting food, taking food out of the oven. If somebody cooked or baked before Shabbos, and now all the food is lying there in the oven, now we have our concept. You could only take, we saw in Sifei, you can only take out three sudas worth, says the Mechaber. But if there's no issa drabonon, like Tanurim Shalonu, where there's no cutting out. Mutter, the Hoytzi, Yoysim, Mishodis, Sudas, Besakin, Ibishum Dava, Shiit Chiboy, Umakonokim, Lo Yoytzi, Bereches. Don't take it out with a special baking fork. Mishum, Demechzi, Kuvdin, the Choil. Because it looks like it Uvdin, the Choil, and that's why you're not allowed to take it out. the question is, if you don't take it out of the oven, it's all going to burn. Right? If you leave it in the oven, the Mishnah is saying that what happens, it's all going to burn. And you've got another child. If it's all going to burn, it comes out that it never really got cooked because... Right, but it did get cooked in the oven, and as it finished cooking, I just left it there. I never produced a fully cooked chicken. I never took it out. I just left it there till it burnt. So I really, in a sense, burnt it. But then the Mishnah Berurah is quite clear. That's all osa. That's osa. Let's carry on. Sif Ches. That halacha is not so relevant to now. Sif Ches. Lo yemale odom kedera asosios, which the brackets explains mini kidneys, various beans and whatever seeds, hagdelois be'eretz yisol v'libabovel, v'tumusin, v'yitin usichatanu. The mechabe is going over here on what we spoke about at the beginning of the simon. Beginning of the simon, we said that we're allowed to put on the stove a tavshil which takes a long time to cook. Because it takes a long time to cook, you switch off it, and if you switch off it, you're not going to be mechase. You're not going to stoke the flames, you're just going to leave it there. That's what we saw at the beginning of the simon. Says the mechaber, even though I've allowed you to leave a pot on the stove cooking, that's only if it's got meat or other types of things inside. But if it's got these seeds inside, kedera, sosius, v'tumusin, peas, seeds, various things which are easy to cook, and you put it on the stove just before Shabbos comes in, then even though it's cooking, and I said before the beginning of the simon, that cooking is mutter, this type of cooking is also. Why? They don't need a lot of cooking. So his mind is always on them. Even though they're completely raw, it's as if they're ready in the middle of cooking. But in special called tzokish, you should not have to do it. It's like we said at the beginning of the simon, because any food which is not fully cooked, which goes into Shabbos not fully cooked, and you might, and your mind is still on it because it takes very short amount of time to cook. You might go and look at it and check it and worry about it. And toich kedei, checking and worrying about it, you'll stoke it, you'll put it up or you put it down. Let's carry on. Sif tes kiyotzeboy. Oh, this is another halacha. Lo yemale chovis shalmayim. This is a very relevant halacha. You're not allowed to fill up your urn of water, v'yitein l'sichatanu, and put it in your oven, or put it on your stovetop, erev Shabbos imchashecha. You're not allowed to fill up your urn unless it is fully bubbling. That's important, because the person puts on his kettle for Shabbos, you have to make sure, as Shabbos comes in, it is fully bubbling. V'im osakein, asurim l'motzei Shabbos, b'chdei sheyasu. If you did it, you're osa, it's osa, because... Like we're speaking about the whole time, because water, as it bubbles, your mind is on it, and it's going to cook as Shabbos comes in. And if you do, you might come to stoke it. Water is also to do. Now, yeah, that means you have to make sure it's fully bubbling, or k'malcha medusoi. That's what we had another halacha on, that the Ramah, you had that already in last simon, that if it's k'malcha medusoi when Shabbos comes in, it's considered cooked. The question is, malcha medusoi means, in food, it means a third cooked, a half cooked. What does malcha medusoi mean in water? Half cooked water, what does half cooked water mean? So some want to say 50 degrees. But others don't like that, because that's not really half cooked, that's just half hot. But the problem is, in cooking in water, the whole concept of cooking in water is really the heat, how hot it is. When it's 100 degrees, that's called cooked. Right? You know?
No one necessarily wants their water boiling when they make tea or coffee or jabbers anyway. They want it to be hot enough to have a hot drink, but not 100 degrees.
So interesting you say that, because I saw in the Achronim, they went a bit the other direction. I hear what you're saying, because nobody really wants to burn themselves after drinking the tea and the coffee. But actually, if you speak to my father likes his tea very, very hot. So the people like it hot, but they like the water very hot.
If you have an urn and it's 100 degrees,
yeah.
Even if you've got 8 litres at the beginning of Shabbos, it will have all evaporated overnight, and then you're just going
to
fuse
it. No, because once it's gone up to 100 degrees, it's already considered cooked. It's considered cooked until it goes right down to less than the Yatzelah this way.
So then, the Marashach...
Yeah, but the question, you have to go up. Until it's 100 degrees, it's considered not cooked. Surely, once it's 100 degrees, it's still called cooked until it goes down to Yad Saledas.
But surely it should be as hot as you want it to be when you have it. Like, if you don't ever want...
So you're saying that hot water is subjective?
I'm saying if you're going to have your coffee at 45 degrees, well, which is Nachrama is good to this point, but let's say you have it 40 degrees, then once it gets to 40 degrees, it's as cooked as you want it to be. If it, from your point of view, it's fully cooked now.
Yeah, yeah, but it's, I'm not sure if that's true. It's because when you talk about water, there's a certain level of cooking of water. If a guy likes his, you know, not meat warm, but he likes his carrots half warm. We spoke about this a couple of days ago. I'm not sure you can look at it that way. There is something called cooking water, right? You're talking about subjective matter, somebody who likes his tea or coffee at 45 degrees. But there's something called cooking water. How would I describe cooked water when it comes to the boil, right?
I mean, that's boiling water, it's not the same as
cooked water. Yeah, no, but the... So that's what we're struggling with. I mean, so what does it mean, cooked water? Then we would agree that coming to the boil, that's where it's reached its highest degree of being cooked, and then it's fully cooked. And I think I think everybody agrees on that. I don't think anybody argues on that. That's called cooked, because at that point it's bubbling, and it's actually, Chazal talk about it in a way that it's become a shinui in it. It's changed, the water's changed, it's become cooked. Even though we don't see it, but it's obviously something's happened. Today they talk about the fact that germs go out at 100 degrees. Anything less than that, I think it's still full of germs. I think it's not even so healthy to drink half-cooked water. But I think everybody agrees that cooked water is at 100 degrees. We're discussing over here what's machem and rusoi, what's a third cooked, what's a half-cooked. Do I go in temperature? Ramisha Feinstein says you have to see how long it takes to cook this amount of water. If it's... an hour, let's say it's a big urn, it takes an hour to cook it on this light. So half cooked will be half an hour. And third cooked will be 20 minutes. That's that's completely timing without looking at the water at all, not analysing the water. But this could be a problem a bit. What does it mean, fully cooked water? What does machem v'dasoi mean? What is hot? What does it mean over here? So, but if it's machem v'dasoi, if it's enough hot that it's machem v'dasoi, so then it might be enough that you can already, if you check your urn before Shabbos comes in, it's already Yad Seledes, which also debate how much Yad Seledes is, because we're talking about Yad Seledes L'Kula, not Yad Seledes L'Chumra. We all know Yad Seledes is 40 degrees. Yad Seledes means when you put your hands in it, it's hot. That's 40 degrees. But that's L'Chumra. L'Kula, it could be higher than that. Okay, but you have to make sure it's hot. If you have to make sure as Shabbos comes in that your urn is hot. Otherwise, you're using Shabbos to cook your urn, and as we said at the beginning of the Simon, that it's no good. So the Mishnah Berurah says, Sif Kotan Mem Tes, Afagav the Maim Uim Lishtes Chaim. So the Mishnah Berurah asks a kasha. If you look at the previous Sif, in Sif Dalot, we had fruit. Fruit never had a problem of cooking on Shabbos, because we said we could eat it raw like you get it cooked. So what's the difference between water and fruit? Says Mishabu, Afagav the Maim Uin Lishtes Chaim, Sifkotim Memtes, Voyoroyu Liestinum Kapirus and Echonim Chaim, so it should have been like Pirus, which are cooked, which are eaten raw. Become Okim Enom Toivim Kolkach Kapirus. Water uncooked is not as tasty as water cooked. Fruit is better uncooked. Water, you can drink it uncooked, but you prefer it cooked. People like it better cooked, especially we're talking about tea and coffee, you definitely want it hot. But Pirus is the other way around, you prefer it uncooked. So water, which you prefer cooked, even though you can drink it uncooked, but because you prefer it that way, so your mind's on it, so we're roaring Shami Yechaset, maybe you come to stoke the fire. Pirus, which you prefer uncooked, then we don't worry about anything at all, because you're definitely not going to do anything wrong. So let's carry on, there's just one more Sif Katan over here. He says in Sif Katan Nun Aleph, not in Sif Katan Nun Aleph, he speaks about, what about cooking water for washing up dishes? Yeah, Sifkotin Nun Aleph, just two lines before the end of the Siman. What about if you cook up water to wash up the dishes? The guy wants to wash up dishes, greasy dishes, he needs hot water. So you're cooking up water to wash the dishes. Do you have Shemi Chasa on that? To cook up water for washing dishes. And you know what else is Nigia? To heat up water for the mikveh. People like to dip in a warm mikveh on Shabbos morning. So you can't. Start cooking on Shabbos morning. You have to cook on Erev Shabbos. So can you turn on the radiator of the water of the mikveh 2 minutes before Shabbos comes in and let it slowly cook through the night? So Mishnah Berurah holds that even water for washing up, water for mikveh, there's an element of Shemi Yechasa. You could have said there's no Shemi Yechasa. Because Shemi Yechasa means the guy's worried about it. The guy worries about his food, his chanan, his chicken soup, his whatever it is, the guy worries about it. You're worried about your hot mikveh. You heard anybody say, oh, your hot mikveh tomorrow morning is hot. I never heard anybody to worry about that. So you could have thought that, no, he's not going to worry about it and start stoking it. But the Mishnah Berurah holds not like that. Mishnah Berurah holds there is an issue of allowing the water to heat itself up over Shabbos. And mainly you have to make sure that it's warm already before Shabbos comes in. Then we go back to the other kula we once spoke about. If you lock the door of the boiler room in the mikveh, then we spoke about this. If you take the knobs off, you could do various etzas to not allow you to come onto the Shema Yechasa. There's one more thing I want to speak about, which is also very relevant. I'm glad to look downstairs. There's a new kettle downstairs. I don't know if anybody's noticed. Now, this is a very interesting thing. All nice big urns, not the urns, electric urns, and these type of plug urns, not the ones, the old samovars, the newer ones, have on it like a strip, and allows you to see the water level. Now, how does that work? There's hot water inside, and some of the water goes up the strip. Now, as the water level goes down, the water level in the strip also goes down, right? That's how it works. And therefore, when you look at that strip, you can see how much water there is inside. Okay? You fill up the urn, the water goes up the strip, and as the water goes down the strip, the water always balances itself out. So as the water inside the oven goes down, the water inside the strip also goes down. Now, is the water inside that strip hot? Is it hot? Yes? I've never, it's very hard to reach it because it's... Or stain, I hear. That's good proof, maybe. You could think about that proof. But it's not hot. It seems that those who've tried and tested, the water in that strip doesn't get hot because it's a bit away. It's not part of the main mixture of water. It's a bit out, especially the one downstairs, because it's not just a strip inside. It's actually a pipe coming out like this and going up like that and going back in. It's a whole pipe in its own. And that water inside there is not hot. Hence, there's a problem. If you take yourself a coffee, what's happening when you take a coffee? The water inside the urn is coming out, and some of the water inside the strip is also coming out. And when it comes out on Shabbos, some of the cold, or semi-cold, let's call it, probably is warm, but not so hot water, is coming out of that strip and going into the kettle. Yeah, have I made myself clear? I think it's quite interesting concept. Because as you take your coffee, the water level of the oven, the urn goes down, the strip also goes down, that's the whole point, right? Because as the more water, 10 people take a coffee, whoop, goes straight down. And therefore, some of that water is coming out. It could be a mashu, it could be a tiny bit, but some water is coming out, that water is cooking itself up on Shabbos. And I think downstairs, actually, if you look, there's a little knob there by that strip. And now the kettle downstairs has been made by a Jewish company, and it's supposed to be made the covered Shabbos. There's a special Shabbos safety thing, there's a special Shabbos thing. And if you look at that strip, they've got some sort of something there. I wonder if it's for that, I don't know, I haven't checked, I haven't tried, I haven't seen, I don't know. But it's a problem. It could be a problem. They do say that you should boil up the water a few times before Shabbos to really, really heat up the water. When you really, really heat it up, then even the water in the strip also eventually, or they say you should open it up and mix it a bit inside. There are various patents which they say to save yourself from that. It's a bit something to worry about.